Good morning once again, everybody. If you were here last week, you heard me say that we're going to begin working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. And yesterday, or last week, we did a bit of an overview, introduction into the context of this letter, and really focused on Paul's introduction, where he was pointing out that Christians are called to be Jesus' holy people in the world. He wrote to the church in Corinth, a church of God in Corinth, to you who have been made holy in Christ Jesus, you were called to be God's holy people with all people everywhere who pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And so we want to keep that in mind as we enter into this exploration of this letter, that we are called to be a holy people, people set apart from the rest of the world. And this is the way we as a church serve as a light to the world rather than just blending in and being like everyone around us. We have this call to show people who God is and what it's like to be his people. And now we want to move into the next section of this letter. Before we get into the really main part of the letter, Paul gives thanks to God for several things that he has done. And so he's communicating this to the church in Corinth as he expresses how God is going to accomplish all he wants for them. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9 to get things started this morning. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to that, you can follow along. And I would like to put on an invitation, if anyone would like to come up and read that for us, you can start things off for us this morning. So if anyone want to come on up, Wendy, yeah, that'd be great.
I always thank my God for you because of the grace God has given you in Christ Jesus. I thank God because in Christ you have been made rich in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge. Just as our witness about Christ has been guaranteed to you, so you have every gift from God while you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Jesus will keep you strong until the end so that there will be no wrong in you on the day our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful.
God is faithful, right? The one who has called you into this fellowship, he is faithful. And that's the main point that Paul is expressing in his thanks, that God will do what he has called you to do. He's letting them know that they have everything they need. There's a lot that he says in the statement. A lot of times when I'm doing studies of Paul's letters, we always comment, man, there's a lot Paul packs into his sentences. So I want to unpack a little bit of what he said. He talks about the grace given to us in Jesus, this undeserved favor that we have all been offered by God. Of course, this is the foundation we return to all the time, that we have all sinned. We are all guilty of disobeying and dishonoring God. But in spite of that, God has offered us this opportunity to be forgiven. And as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's an incredible gift when you think about it. A lot of times I think throughout in our modern day Christian faith, we have a good grasp of that first part, that he is faithful to forgive us, but he will also purify us through his grace. That's that part of making us holy. And so Paul gives thanks to God for this grace that God has shown. He also expresses thanks for the ways that God has enriched them or given them these amazing gifts. He highlights especially their speech and their knowledge that God gave them, suggesting that God worked among them to enhance the words that they were to speak to each other, enhance their knowledge of who God was, and the way they understood him. We don't know exactly the details of this, but the evidence Paul points to is that their testimony that they gave, that when they shared the gospel, was confirmed to the Corinthians. So it wasn't just that they gave this message and the people thought about it and said, oh yeah, that makes sense, I'm going to believe in it. There's something that God did among them to confirm that gospel. And Paul's expressing thanks for the way that God did that, the way it was received among these new Christians. And I highlight this just to point out that time and time again, we see this with people who put their faith in Christ. It's not just our human reasoning. It's not our ability to convince them that the gospel is true that leads them to faith. It might be a part of it. It has a role to play in it. But there's something that God does in them. and reaches their hearts and minds and shows them the truth of the gospel. And so Paul is expressing thanks to God that he does that among us, that he confirms who he is and what he's done. And I think that must have been an exciting thing to see among this group of Gentiles, these people who have been immersed in the worship of other idols, not really knowing who God, the true God, was, to have that message confirmed in them. And then finally, Paul gives thanks to God, or thanks to God, that he has so worked among the Corinthians, so enriched them, that they are not lacking in any gift as they await for Jesus' return. He is giving them everything they need to be made holy. He affirms that God will sustain them to the end. He will make them without sin before God. He will keep them strong until the end, so that there will be no wrong in them in the day that Jesus returns. And so the idea here is, remember in the introduction, he says, you were called to be holy. And now he's saying, and God is going to do it. God is going to make you holy. He has given you everything you need to be the holy people God wants you to be. He's given everything you need to persevere, to overcome, to be healed and restored, to be set apart. Whatever it is that you need, God is faithful and he has given it to you. And that's the point I really want to highlight and focus on this morning. We see this promise all throughout Scripture as the writers describe the character of God and what he does for those who live by faith in him. And we've heard that already a little bit in the songs that we've sung and what Lynn shared. God is faithful and God provides all we need. The Apostle Peter begins his second letter, Second Peter, this way. He says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The statement that Paul makes to the Philippians is a call to trust God with everything in our lives. With every situation, as we pray to him, as we call out to him, he says, don't be anxious about it. But reach out to thanksgiving with God. And that's based on a faith that God will provide. He will come through. Psalm 23, of course, is a wonderful expression of thanksgiving to God. I'm going to turn to that and just read through Psalm 23. I know this is familiar to a lot of people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All throughout that psalm, you see this expression of thanks to God because of his goodness. His mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life, it says. And it begins with this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The New International Version says it this way. It says, I lack nothing. Nothing is lacking in the Lord. And so we come back to Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians. He says, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing lacking in your life because of Jesus, because of what God has done. Paul wants these people to understand that because of God and who he is, there's nothing else that they need. They're not lacking in anything they might need to do all that God desires for them. And that same message is true for us today. God is good. He is so generous. He is generous to you personally, and he is generous to us as a church together. We are lacking nothing we may need for the life of holiness in Christ Jesus that God desires for us. So this is what the Bible tells us to be true in so many ways. This is about who God is and how he cares for those who love him, for those of us who put our faith in Jesus. And we believe the Bible to be true. So the question I want to put out for us to consider today is this. What would our lives be like? What would be different if we could fully embrace this truth, this promise that it was true every day, that we're lacking nothing that we need for the life God calls for us, that he has given us abundantly and generously all we could possibly need? Think about how many burdens and worries that we carry and how they lead to uncertainty in our lives. Think about often our hearts and minds grasp at things we desire because we fear that we're going to come up short in some way. And that often leads to selfishness and sin, or it leads us down paths that are not fruitful because we have trouble waiting for the Lord. Or how often do we compare ourselves to others and covet what they have for ourselves? As I write that and I think about that, I think about the Apostle James's words in James chapter 4. He writes, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." He says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God." And he highlights in there that how it's so often our desires and our passions that lead us into quarrels and divisions with one another. And that comes from a lack of trusting in the Lord's provision. He goes on in verse 5, he says, "Do you suppose it to be no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he," meaning God gives more grace. And it says in scripture, "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you." In so many ways that Peter is expressing here, if we would humble ourselves, if we would step back from our lives and recognize what God has done and what God is able to do and what he's promised to do, we would actually save ourselves a lot of trouble. We would find ourselves walking in God's abundant provision. We wouldn't be racing out ahead of him. We wouldn't be going into sin. We wouldn't be dividing ourselves from one another. So many of the things that we see are wrong come from our lack of understanding that God truly does provide all that we need. Now, there, of course, will be difficulties in life. People will hurt us and let us down. Things will go wrong. This world is broken and sinful. And we live in the reality of that. But what if we knew in the depths of our hearts and minds that no matter what the circumstances are, God is with us and generously provides all we need to persevere through any trial? Again, going back to the Apostle James, he writes in chapter 1 of this letter, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many times, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." There's that statement again, not lacking anything. And so Peter suggests a couple things about these trials. It says that God allows or uses the trials of life to teach us to have a deeper and more meaningful faith in him. As we persevere in faith, and every trial is an opportunity to exercise more faith in the Lord, we come to see God's provision more clearly. And Peter also says there, as we persevere all the way through, right, as we allow perseverance to finish its work, well, what happens is we become more mature, not lacking in anything, he says. So it seems that part of accessing the fullness of God's provision for us is found in persevering through trials and maturing, which is at least part of why I think James says to welcome these trials. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Because what's happening there is God is providing you an opportunity to know him more, to mature in your faith, to walk more fully in the abundance of his provision, and even be aware of his provision at a deeper level than you are now. There's something about allowing those trials that helps us to know in the fullness of God's provision more. As we think about the abundance of what God provides us, we think about the benefits that come from growing in your trust in the Lord's provision for all you need for life and godliness. The first thing that comes to mind is our contentment grows. We learn, like the Apostle Paul did, to be more content with our lives. Not just accepting things and just saying, oh yeah, well, it's okay. But having an abundant joy because God gives us so much more and life is so much greater than we realize because of God's provision. Paul writes this in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned that in whatever situation I am to be content. And Paul had a lot of difficult situations in life, but he had learned to be content with no matter what the circumstances. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Once again, pointing to God's provision, no matter what the circumstance, whether I have everything I need in front of me, or whether I'm feeling lack, whether there's hunger or abundance, plenty or hunger, abundance or need, I know that God will provide. I can be content because I know that God will come through. And so learning to live in this truth of God's provision, we grow in contentment in our lives. We also see freedom growing. Freedom, first of all, to be who God made you to be. As you learn to let go of anxieties and expectations that have built up over the years, we let go of needing to control things, we let go of fears, we learn to just to be still and know that he is God. There's something so freeing to think about all the things that I've decided in my life that I've experienced that have not been so great, that I need to be a certain way, or I need to do this, or I need to do that, to just let go of that and say, you know what? The only thing I need to do is be who God made me to be. Now, that is not at all saying we're just going to remain as we are, right? We're never going to grow and change. No, what it means is we're going to let go of things that we have put up in front of ours that actually end up being obstacles to our own growth. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to fully penetrate into our lives. We just become more free. Wouldn't it be great to live life in that freedom of knowing I am God's beloved child, and I'm going to just embrace who he made me to be and enjoy the life that he's given me because he gives me all that I need. You also become free to serve God in new ways. If God has given you all that you need, then there's nothing to fear about stepping out in faith to serve him in ways that you've never tried before. And just simply see what God does. So often God puts opportunities in front of us. And we pause and we hesitate and we try to reason out whether this is what God wants for us or not. There's a freedom that comes from, yes, praying and discerning, but then just acting and saying, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with this. I don't feel like I have the skills for this, but God is laying this out in front of me, and I see how this would fulfill his purposes, and I see how it would honor him. I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to trust him to provide everything I need. And then whether it turns out the way you expect it to turn out or not, you still have that experience of going through this moment, trusting in the Lord and seeing what he provides. And more often than not, you know, things don't fail the way we think about failure. God shows us new things through the experience and brings us to new levels and new opportunities to serve him. There's a freedom that comes to just try new things for the Lord, to step out in faith and see what he will do. If we know from the start, which the Bible says is true, we know from the start, God has already given you everything that you need. You are lacking in nothing to fulfill the life and purposes that he has for you. This freedom to serve him comes when we know this. And it's good to think about this not only for yourselves and for ourselves individually. There's a lot of benefit that comes for each of us individually in our own growth, in our own journey with God, but it also consider it in the terms of our church as well. As a church family, we can trust that we together are not lacking in any gift from God that we need to fulfill his purposes in this time and in this place. We can embrace that truth and pursue all he calls us to do, to be his witnesses, to teach and encourage one another, to grow in our faith, to do whatever he places in front of us. We can accomplish all those things with freedom and contentment and confidence when we know that God has given us everything we need. We don't need to hold back in fear thinking, well, I don't know if we'll be able to do that. Well, if it's God's will, we will. We will do it, and we will accomplish so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. So Paul is reminding us today of God's provision. This isn't necessarily in the form of material things, and it isn't even always in the form of giving you great skills and abilities to accomplish things that you haven't done before. A big part of what he provides includes things like strength to persevere. When life does get difficult, God provides us the strength to continue on day after day. It gives us reason to keep trying and never give up, knowing that he will come through. And along with that strength comes hope. Hope that God is at work even when things appear to be lost. Hope that you will not be left out or left behind. Hope that you will not be rejected, that you have not gone too far away from God. And hope that he is always with you. There's great strength in knowing that he is there. There's great hope that comes and gives us perseverance. He gives us his unconditional love. That no matter how far we fall, if we recognize it and we come back to him, and we continue to pursue him in love, and we continue to desire to be with him, his love never fails. He will never remove himself from us. And he gives us his knowledge and the wisdom to use it. It's not always apparent to us when that's happening, but God, you know, I see it highlighted in what Paul said to the Corinthians, that it wasn't just his words that convinced them of the truth of the gospel. There was something that God did within them to convince them of the truth, to show them who he was, to confirm the gospel. God does that for us as well. As we study his scripture, as we pray and ask God to reveal himself to us, he helps us to understand him more, to know him more, and to use that knowledge to act wisely in his honor. And so see, these are just some of the things that God provides us that are beyond the normal things that maybe we think about in God's provision. So today and throughout this week, I want to encourage you to spend some time with the Lord. and consider if there's anything that holds you back from fully embracing this promise that through your faith in Jesus and because of God's love for you, you are not lacking in any gift that you need to fulfill all he wants for you. We are lacking for nothing. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his generous provision. And let's seek to live as though that is true every day. Let's praise. Let's pray and praise him. Heavenly Father, pray that you help us all to know even more than we already do of the great wealth of your provision for us, the great wealth of your love, that you desire to give us all that we need. Help us to see your provision, Lord. Help us to wait on you. And help us to have confidence and courage and freedom and contentment in our lives, full of abundant joy, because we know you, and you generously provide all that we need so that we are lacking in nothing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.